Very good evening, one and all, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God created man and woman out of the material of this earth. That means, as long as we are in this mortal flesh, we depend upon the resources out of this earth to survive. And so when God first created Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden, the work they had to do was very simple and straightforward. The Bible tells us in Genesis 2 that God brought a mist from the earth to water the whole face of the ground. And so the fruit trees that God had given to man to eat, to survive, man did not have to work at all. They just blossom and grow, and they just reach forth their hand, pluck it, and eat it. It was very simple. They enjoyed their fellowship with the Lord in the Garden of Eden. There was no barrier. They could just simply speak with God and all would be well. But after the fall, things changed. Now man had sinned against God. Man could not just simply approach God without a mediator. Man must now approach God through a mediator. Now that man is in sin, man must work hard. Why must man work hard? We continue to work hard today. Even though we may try to ease our hard work, we do our utmost to work as not as hard as possible, to make our working life very comfortable. And so we invented air condition to make the environment very suitable and comfortable for hard work. So when the Bible talks about in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, do you really sweat before you eat bread? We are living in a very comfortable environment. Air-conditioned car, air-conditioned home, air-conditioned offices. So where is the sweat that the Bible speaks of? Of course, this context is with reference to a farmer. In contrast to what Adam did in the Garden of Eden before the fall, reach forth, pluck, eat. No issue. No need to dig, no need to do anything. Water just came out of the ground, reach forth, eat. That's it. Very simple. But now after the fall, God had already punished the serpent. God already punished Eve. And now God will turn his attention to man, the first man, Adam. And that is where we begin this evening's message. You look at what God said to Adam concerning Adam's punishment. Now, Adam was the representative man, as we will see later on. What he did represented you, represented me. No exception. You may not like it, but this is the reality. There are many things in life that you do not like, but it is still reality. He represented all mankind. If he had passed the test in the Garden of Eden, all mankind would have passed. If he failed, and he did fail, that means all mankind failed with him. And that means this curse upon Adam, even though we may not have sinned the same kind of sin that Adam sinned, but the curse upon him and the ground will also be experienced by us today, because he represented all of us. So verse 17 to verse 19, we have the reason to explain why there are thorns and thistles on the earth. There were none before. Now there will be. And unto Adam, verse 17, God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Now there's nothing wrong with listening to the wife, unless what the wife asks you to do contradicts the Bible, contradicts the will of God. That was the problem. Nothing wrong with talking to the wife, listening to the counsel of the wife. But the problem in this context was Adam listened to the wife who told him, eat of this fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which Adam knew that God told him, you cannot eat. But Adam knew that Eve had already eaten. And so Adam had to make a very, very difficult choice. God said, I cannot eat. I must not eat. If I eat, I will die. But now Eve, my wife, had eaten. And now she asked me to eat as well. So do I listen to my wife and disobey God? Or do I listen to God and disobey what my wife had asked me to do to join her in sin? He listened to the wife. He joined her in sin. And the moment that happened, the Bible tells us the eyes of them both were opened. They knew that they had sinned against God, for the guilt of sin was there. Now they were naked and they were ashamed. They sewed fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. And they hid from God. Their whole disposition, their whole frame of mind from within them has changed. We know this is called a total depravity. Sin has now become their master, when before sin was not in existence inside of them. But now it resided in them, and now sin controls them. They cannot do anything else but sin, in mind, in motive, and in word and action. This is now the state and condition of Adam when God said these words to him. You have hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. So that's the punishment. So the result of Adam's transgression was to curse the ground. In the case of Eve, God cursed her body and her relationship with Adam. That's found in verse 16. So that from now onwards, when she gives birth, the pain will be far, far greater. From now onwards, she will want to usurp the authority of the husband, which she never did in the past. But the husband must rule over her, and so the tension in the home will now begin. And upon the man, God said, I'm going to curse the ground. Why did God curse man in the body? Why did God curse the ground? God doesn't have to curse man's body, because God knows that man depends upon the ground to live. He gets hungry every day, and therefore he needs to work the ground to find food. And so therefore, when God cursed the ground, it is the same as cursing Adam, because now his life will be far more difficult than before. The ground will not just simply readily bring forth fruit. It will no longer bring forth fruit whereby he just reached forth his hand and plucked and eat. Those days are gone forever. From now onward, God says, I will curse the ground because of you, for your sake. Why did God say for your sake? It's as if it is a good thing. Is it not a good thing? Of course it is a good thing. It is a good thing now that God will curse the ground. It was a good thing for God to curse Eve. It was a good thing for God to take away peace in the home. Now that they will quarrel in the home, it is a good thing. God will never do anything bad to us. Please understand this. Now that we are in sin, now that Eve is in sin, all these things God must give to man. God must give to Eve. Every time a woman gives birth, she must remember Genesis chapter 3. She must remember that this baby born out of her womb is a sinner that needs the Savior. And the increased pain in childbirthing, even though medical science have allowed man and woman to try to ease the pain, they must never forget Genesis 6 and the responsibility that the mother now has, the father now has, in bringing up this child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. This child of yours is now born in sin with a nature that is depraved. You now have the responsibility to guide and to lead. And for the husband, God will now curse the ground for your sake. Now we're going to study why it is for Adam's sake. It is for his good. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. The same word sorrow is used in verse 16 to describe Eve. In sorrow you shall now give birth. Now which one is worse? In the case of those who want to give birth, those who are married, you feel the pain and that's it. The moment the baby comes out, the pain is gone in terms of the birthing pain. But in the case of Adam's sorrow, how long will the sorrow last? The Bible tells us in verse 19, until from dust you are, dust you return until you die. So you want an instantaneous, excruciating pain in giving birth, like the woman's sorrow? Or you want to have the kind of sorrow that man experiences from the day he starts work, from the day he begins his responsibility as a worker? Not when he's a child, when he grows up, he will have to work hard by the sweat of his brow until he dies. Both are categorized under this word, sorrow, which was not in existence before chapter 3. There was no sorrow serving God in the Garden of Eden. Now remember, man is made out of this ground. Man is designed by God to work the land. Man was given dominion to rule, to take care of it. So it was supposed to be something very pleasant, something extremely enjoyable. This time, it was different. You will now have to work very hard. And you shall eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Not allowed to eat animals yet. It's only after the flood in Genesis 9. Then God gave man permission to eat animals. And when God gave permission to man to eat animals, God says, I will put the fear of man into the animals, so that now when animals see man, animals will run, and that is the beginning of hunting. Because before that, you just call the animals will come to you. But you're not allowed to eat them. God says you are only allowed to eat herb. The thorns and thistle will now be in the ground, because now you're only allowed by God, by permission from God, to eat only herb, so that the thorns and thistle are directly related to your eating of herb. Because if this is not given, and the animals just come to you when you just call them, where is the sweat? You just call the pig to come, you just eat the pig. Just call the fish to come, you just catch the fish. But when God gives you permission to eat meat, now the fear of man is an animal, now man will have to hunt, and so therefore you're going to work hard again to fish, to hunt, again by the sweat of your brow. Hard work. When God gives permission to eat meat, it's also hard work from Genesis 9 onwards. Now the eating of herb, which was given right from the very beginning, will no longer be pleasant without sweat. It will now be with the sweat of the brow. You have to work hard. And so in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So God knows that man, his mortal flesh, is directly linked and dependent upon this earth, this ground, to keep him alive. And so when God cursed the ground with thorns and thistles, man will now have to work hard, very hard, in order to find food. It is a good thing, because now man can think of evil. Now man can commit evil, can do a lot of wicked things which he was not capable of doing or did not do before the fall. But now he will do only evil continuously. And so if God were to make life easy for him, where he doesn't have to work very hard, he can get food. What does that mean? That means he will have a lot of time on his hand. And so when he works hard, he gets exhausted and tired. He lay down to sleep. He will not have time to imagine and think of more evil, because he now perspires, he's tired, he's exhausted after a hard day's work. He lay down, he sleeps. Wakes up, continue to work the ground. Work hard, less and less time to do evil, to invent evil. That's why it is for man's sake, to keep man from sin, to keep man from committing more and more sin. Remember, at this time of man's existence, man lived 800-900 years. Imagine if you are a liar at the age of 21 and you live 800 years. You just imagine how many years you have to practice the art of deception. When you are 300 years old, you would be a master deceiver. And you have another 500 more years to live to deceive more people. You just imagine. You see, in those days, the people live 800-900 years. You know what that means? That means the people's aging will be very, very slow. I think only. They will grow up like us very quickly, normally up to the age of 21 perhaps. Very quickly, you become an adult, you'll be able to walk and run, just like what you and I see about a baby growing up. 9 months, they can crawl, and when they are 12 months, 16 months, they can walk and they can become more and more alert in the things that you talk to them, and they become very, very nice to talk to. They can relate to you now. They become more and more adult in the thinking, they can understand. But once they reach a certain age, the aging process will become very slow. So much so that they will live 800-900 years. That means they will be young, they will be strong, they will be healthy for hundreds of years until the tail end. And then they slowly begin to grow old and weak, and then they slowly die at the age of 900, 950, whatever the case may be. But they will have many, many years, hundreds of years of youthful zeal and fervency and strength. But those hundreds of years are characterized by sin, by evil, by wickedness. You just imagine if Mao Zedong was allowed to live 800-900 years. He controlled a billion people. He had the army in his pocket. You just imagine if a man like him was allowed by God to live 800 years. Just imagine the kind of damage that a man with that kind of power could do to this world. And that's why God says, I must now shorten and reduce the amount of minutes a man has every day to do evil by getting him now to work hard in order to feed himself so that he will have less time to commit his evil. And that's why it is for man's sake that God will give to man the curse on the ground of thorns and thistles, so that from now onwards, growing food to keep you alive will no longer be easy, because you are no longer a man without sin. And that's the reason why thorns and thistles are good for us. It is good for us that man now has to work hard in the field. It is good for us that man has to work hard, period. But man will continue to try his utmost not to work as hard. And so you see how our society exists today. 7 days, many countries are now reducing the 7 days to 5 day week. Some countries are even reducing that to 4 day week. As long as you're allowed to work from home, they are also reducing it to 3 day week. Some people work only for 3 days. And they're very happy. You know why? Because now there are 4 days to do whatever they want. What do you think they do with 4 days of doing whatever they want? Now, they are still totally depraved, characterized by sin, evil, wickedness. They get drunk. All they care about would be to satisfy the cravings of this carnal flesh. They just have fun, have games, doing all kinds of terrible, terrible things. Some of these things are not even worth speaking from the pulpit. It's evil, it's wicked. You know what they are. You see them on the internet. You see all these transgressions so readily in our world. Why? Because of mechanization, because of whatever reason. Now there are some people who hardly even work at all, and then the government will even give them money for doing nothing. What do you think they will do when they are not working hard? They waste time and they spend their time fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And that's what we see in man. And that's why God says, because for your sake, God will now curse the ground with thorns and thistles so that you will work hard, so that you will not do any more sinful things in such great capacity. Reduce it. And hopefully with the reduction, your influence in hurting people will be minimized, because mankind will very quickly populate this world. as you can see when we turn to Genesis 6 next Lord's Day. This was the reason why God gave thorns and thistles to man, and this is the state and condition of our earth today. For our good, working hard is good for us. But look at verse 20 and 21. There was not just fear of hard work. Now, this is true of everyone, believers and unbelievers alike. What we read in verse 17 and verse 19 is a description of everyone on earth. But there will be a distinction that God wants us to see and understand. With this reason, God also gives to man a deliverance. You can get out of this. Verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve. Eve means living. The same word is found in the last word of verse 20, because she was the mother of all living. You know what that means, right? Just as everyone will have to work hard because we are from Adam, therefore every woman will experience the same kind of curse as Eve. That's what it means here, the mother of all the living. All of us. We are all going to stem from them. They are the federal headship, or Adam is the federal headship. And therefore, as long as you are born of human father, human mother, you will experience the same curse. And true enough, you ask any woman who tried to give birth, you're going to feel excruciating pain. They say the pain is so painful that it's unimaginable. Some mothers would share, especially if they don't use any medication to ease the pain. And for man, you can see it for yourself. Hard work, even though man will resist and try to minimize the hard work. But to our own hurt, when you do not be hardworking. And verse 21, look at the hope, the deliverance. And Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Why is this important? This is important because where did the coats of skin that God used to clothe Adam and Eve come from? That means God will have to kill animals in order to dress Adam and Eve. That means there was the killing for the first time of an animal. They were not allowed to eat animals, so therefore they will not be allowed to kill. Then why did God kill? Because the first offering in chapter 4 will be the killing of animals. That means God taught them that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So God basically let man see for the first time what is inside blood. They've never seen blood before until then. Do you realize that? No killing in Genesis 1 and 2. No killing until verse 21, when God himself killed animals to clothe Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness. They tried to cover their nakedness using figs. Right? Fig leaves. And now God says, you cannot cover your nakedness using fig leaves because the nakedness is not just the external, that's a symptom. What you need is to solve the problem that is inside of you. And your fig leaves would be like your good works trying to cover up your evil and your sinful deed. You can't do that. Only through the blood that was shed before you can clean your inside. And that's why we believe that verse 21 was a picture, a type of Christ, where Adam and Eve must have learned from God the importance of bringing an animal sacrifice to him, because that was exactly the basis for Abel in Genesis 4 to bring an animal sacrifice, which God says in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abel offered an offering that God was pleased with him and the offering, and God received him and his offering. And that's how we knew that Adam and Eve must have taught the children that when you approach God, you can no longer approach him on your own good works. That's why God rejected Cain, because Cain offered offerings that was good enough for Cain, and so Cain thought it must be good enough for God, because if it's good enough for Cain, it must be good enough for God, which is the representation of the religions of the world. As long as it is good enough for me, God must also accept. God rejected Cain and his offering because it was not done according to God's instruction, which they must have learned from parents, Adam and Eve. That when you approach God, remember before transgression, you can approach God without mediation. But now after transgression, you cannot approach God without mediation. And the Bible says the mediation is that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. As long as you are a sinner, you cannot approach God without someone dying in your place. And so the animal sacrifice has begun. It was a type of Christ. It was to tell us that there will be one day a Savior, which God already told mankind in Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. But in the course of it, the serpent will bruise his heel. And so therefore, they already have the first gospel given to them, and the preacher of the first gospel was God himself. And that's why God did not leave man to the state of thorns and thistles, but God gave man a deliverance out of this state of thorns and thistles. In other words, after we are born again in Christ, when we work the land, sure, the thorns and thistles will be there. But now that we are children of God, when we work hard, we do it as unto the Lord. There is now this joy of serving the Lord, because now we do not just simply work to keep body and soul together. Now we work to praise the Lord and to point people to the Lord. That's why we do. That's why we work very hard. That's why students study very hard, to point people to the Savior, that as children of God, we work hard in everything that God lays in our hands to do, because now that we are born again in Christ, what we do will have a spiritual value and dimension. And the Bible says, after our time of service here on earth is done, all our good works that are done in Christ will accompany us or follow us when God brings us to heaven. It will be remembered by God, in other words. And that's why these thorns and thistles is for the whole generation of mankind, and for the believers, you can now get out of this. You do not need to work to keep body and soul. You just trust God to provide what you need, as Jesus told us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. No longer should you seek to keep body and soul together. God says, I will take care of that part for you from now onwards. And as your heavenly Father, you look around you. Do the birds sow, gather, reap? Do they store it in barns? No. But your heavenly Father feeds them. I will feed you. You just take care of your spiritual life, your spiritual well-being. I will take care of the physical. You look at all the lilies of the field. These are wild lilies. You look at how beautiful the petals are. And you look at how colorful and how rich the texture. It is far greater than the best garment of King Solomon. And they only appear for the moment in the morning, and by afternoon time they dry off and they are dead. And the woman will just gather them and burn them in the oven to cook their bread and to bake their bread. Are you not more important and more precious to your heavenly Father than the wild lilies and the birds that fly in the sky? Of course. And so therefore now we are in the world, still covered with thorns and thistles, but because we are children of God, we have been delivered from this curse. We have been delivered from this curse by the grace and the mercies of God. God always will take care of us. Even the thorns and thistles are for man's good, for man's sake, so that man will have less time to do evil. And God has delivered man. You don't have to remain in this state and condition of trying to work and eke out a living to keep body and soul together, because no matter how hard you try, your body and soul will be separated when death comes. You know that. And then where will your spirit go? The Bible says if you die in your sin, working hard, earning a lot of money, provide for your family and for your future generations to come, even after all these things, and you die in your sin, understand that you will end up in hell. God says that to us. God knows that, because God warns Adam, you eat of this forbidden fruit, you will die. Where do you think they will go after they die in sin? They will end up in hell. But God gave us this deliverance. The deliverer is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to become the Son of Man so that he can die in your place. And God accepted what he has done for you in your place, because God raised him from the dead. But if you reject him, then he will not die in your place.
But if you receive him by faith and cry to God that Jesus Christ died for me, O Lord, and I accepted what Jesus Christ has done for me because of my transgressions, how he bore the punishment on my behalf, and he died on my behalf, and I accept him as my Lord, as my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. God will forgive you. God will wash away all your sins because the punishment that you and I are supposed to receive from God has already been borne by our Lord Jesus Christ. So that from now onwards, as a child of God, the thorns and thistles world that you are in will no longer be thorns and thistles to you. Because now everything you do, even as simple as giving someone a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, you will not lose your reward. No. And that's how wonderful it is that God did not just leave us in a state of thorns and thistles. He could have, as is right, because we deserve it. Adam deserved it, and so do all of us. But because of his grace, his mercy, and his love for us, even though there is nothing lovely in us because we are totally depraved, evil, and wicked, and yet God has sent Jesus Christ to die for us in our place to deliver us out of this life of thorns and thistles and by the sweat of our brow. God wants to protect us just as he protected Adam and Eve. You look at verse 22 to 24. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us. What does that mean? Has become as one of us to know good and evil. Do you remember the seduction and the lie of the serpent? When the serpent said, chapter 3, verse 5, for God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so now here God himself said about man and woman, about Adam and Eve, behold, man, the man is now, is become as one of us to know good and evil. In what way have Adam and Eve become like God, knowing good and evil? When God gave the covenant of works in Genesis 2 to Adam, Adam understood the covenant very well. Adam understood what evil was. He understood what good was, good and evil. He understood, but he only experienced good. He never experienced evil in Genesis 2. Because he had a good, wonderful relationship with God. He communed with God. He can see the goodness of God. He experienced goodness. But he had never experienced evil. But the moment he sinned, he now experienced good and evil. Now he knows good and evil experientially. And so in what way is Adam and Eve, who now knows good and evil experientially, similar to what God said, they are now like us knowing good and evil. Now God knows good and evil, but never evil experientially. God knows good because God never sinned. God cannot sin. So God knows goodness, but God is permanently fixed in his state of goodness, knowing good and evil. That's God. 100% goodness, never committed evil before, but only no goodness. Permanently fixed in his state. And so now man is like God. In what state? In his state of permanency. Now that man is fixed in the state of depravity, knowing good and evil. In his case, experientially only good and experientially evil. But when we are glorified, when we are in heaven, you know what that means? The evil part is taken away. Please understand this. When we are in heaven, we will only continue to do good. No longer will we ever do evil in the glorified state. You know that, right? When God saved us and God gave us the righteousness of Christ, of the law that is imputed to us. And then one day we will be glorified. We will all go to heaven. And in heaven, we will only do good. We will no longer do evil. But now man in the state of sin and depravity, they now know good and evil both experientially. And they are similar to God in the state that now they are permanently fixed in the state of depravity. But this state of depravity is not beyond redemption. They can be saved in this state of total depravity just as we are. We are born in depravity, and if we do not find a solution, we will die in depravity, and then we will end up in hell in depravity. And God doesn't want that And that's why God has to do something to protect man, to protect Adam and Eve. So that Adam and Eve, even though they are now permanently fixed in a state of total depravity, they can still be redeemed. And so that's what God said. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Because if he were to eat the tree or eat the fruit from the tree of life, he will be beyond redemption and permanently fixed in a state of condemnation and depravity. And that's why God says we have to stop him. We cannot allow him to eat of the fruit of the tree of life. Now, you and I know that in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, especially 22, there will be a tree of life in the new heaven and the new Jerusalem, the new earth and the new heaven in the new Jerusalem. That tree of life is not the same as this one. This tree of life was destroyed in Noah's flood when God flooded and covered the whole face of this earth. But until the flood took place, this place, the Garden of Eden, remained throughout the entire period right up to Noah's flood. And God will now have to permanently keep sinful men, including all the descendants of Adam and Eve, away so that they cannot enter into this Garden of Eden, where the fruit of the tree of life remained still there. And so God had to drive man and Eve out of the garden, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and the flaming sword which turn every way to protect it. There will be this revolving fiery sword to stop any individual from crossing and entering into this, so that man, although he is now fixed in a state of depravity, he is not beyond salvation. He can still be saved if only he would accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. This is why you and I are in the state and condition that we are in. Born in sin, that's why we grow old, that's why we die. And that's why the world that we're living in is such a difficult world, because this world was our home, created by God for us. It's not supposed to hurt us, but this world now hurt us. This world now takes life when it is not supposed to take life. It's supposed to be a world where we live in. It's supposed to be a world that gives life, supports life. It's supposed to sustain life, not to take life. But because of man's sin, that's why this world is in this terrible, terrible sick state. That's why this world, with all its volcanic eruption, its earthquake, and all the tsunamis and typhoons and cyclones, and all those famine and all these things, they are all warning signs or reminder to us that it is because of man's depravity. When man fell, all creation fell. And God now gives us thorns and thistles for our sake to help us, to point us to the Savior, to create in us this need, this pain, this torture, this sorrow, so that we may look up to God and cry to God to save us. Remember, the starting point of all salvation is the bankruptcy of spirit. If God were to continue to give us a world without thorns and thistles, life would be so simple and so wonderful and so easy until you die in your sin and you end up in hell. But because of sorrow, it will affect us and it will cause us to turn to God and to cry to God for help. Because that is the starting point of all journey of salvation. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the starting point. Bankruptcy of spirit. That's why God gave to man thorns and thistles. But God did not leave man in the state of thorns and thistles, but God delivered man by killing the animal as a sign to tell them that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, pointing to Christ, the seed of the woman that God already preached in Genesis 3:15 when he cursed the serpent. And then now God protected man so that man can find salvation by keeping man out of the Garden of Eden for fear that man, now in this state of total depravity, he might eat the forbidden fruit and then he will be beyond salvation. He will live forever in this state and condition. And that's why God had to stop man. You see, everything that God did is for our good, including the hard work. But now that you are a child of God, don't run away from hard work. Don't be afraid of hard work. Look forward to it. We are no longer just working hard to keep body and soul together. We are now working hard for Jesus' sake, to point people to the Savior, to serve the Lord with joy, with gladness, even though the world may still be covered with thorns and thistles, but no longer our heart. It is now a heart of flesh, washed by the blood of Christ, delivered from the bondage of sin, death, and hell. As believers, we have so much to live for on this earth. Before the Lord calls us home, live for the Savior with joy, with gladness, and whatever God lays in your hands to do, students, those of us who are working outside, always do your best and give to the Lord your best, for He has given to us His best, His only begotten Son. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee once again, O Lord, for salvation so rich and so freely given to us in Christ Jesus. And after we are saved, You have given us the honor and the privilege to remain on this earth from the day we are born again to this day. And how wonderful an honor and privilege it is to bear a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, especially by our diligence. Help all Your children, O Lord, to always work very hard and to give our very best unto Thee, whether it is to the young people when they study or to many adults when they are working. Help us never to be idle, but whatever we lay our hands to do, may we always give our very best, for we no longer serve ourselves or this body, but we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we pray, Father, that You will continue to use us, and by our testimony of diligence and hard work and holiness, may Thou use our good works to point others to the Savior, and they will glorify Thee, O Lord, for this is our heart's cry and our heart's desire. For Jesus' sake, may Thou continue to bless us and use us in these last days. In Jesus' name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.